Welcome to the Canby Report Council Interview Series. Rob McDowell, independent for City Council.
Yes, I am. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Rob, who are you for those who don't know who you are?
Who am I? That's a great question. I am an independent candidate running for City Council. My past, I have been involved in city politics since 2002, actually. I worked on, there was a party that started up called VCA Team. It was sort of the old team resurrected. Mm. And I ran their campaign, and that's when I got really interested in civic politics. But since after that, I got into the MPA, and I've been involved with the MPA for a while. And right now, and I ran with them twice, once for city council and once with school board. And now I'm running as an independent, so it's all very exciting.
So what was your life before politics, and how did that kind of lead into?
There was no life before politics. You know, it was actually grade 10. I don't know if I was voluntold or what, but I was a youth delegate to Pierre Trudeau's. I was a delegate to Ottawa. And so going to Ottawa, mm-hmm. I guess I was 16. So going to Ottawa and being around that kind of environment, the old leadership style where one team that's going to pull out walks down the stairs and you don't know if they're going to go right or left to the next mm-hmm. candidate. And it was so exciting. It got to me like sports gets to some people. You know, I don't understand the allure of sports, but when I put a political lens, I think, okay, it kind of makes sense. If you guys like sports like I like politics, then yeah, that all kind of makes sense.
So why, you mentioned you'd run with the NPA in the past, why go independent this year?
Well, there's a number of reasons. One is, as you know, the MPA went through a few changes that I wasn't too comfortable with. But there's real opportunity, I think, this time for independence. And I think people are getting a bit tired or weary of the established parties. You can see that with Vision, certainly. And let's be honest, these civic parties, they're all orphaned by or adopted occasionally every 4 years by the federal or provincial counterparts. So they're either a coalition like the MPA was of the Conservatives and the Liberals, and then the Liberals leave, or the Conservatives take over, or the Vision with the NDP and the Liberals, where one faction leaves and now it's sort of more NDP than it used to be. So there's that. And then the campaign finance reform is a big deal. There's a number of credible independent candidates that make me a lot more comfortable running as an independent. You know, it's not quite what it used to be, the sort of the island of misfit toys, if I could be a bit cruel. But I've got to the point where I think I have the networks and the ability to run as an independent and not be beholden to anybody. So not be stuck having to deal with reporting to a party apparatus or dealing with funders. I can just do my own thing and make my own decisions. I think that's where I am.
And so if you do get elected, you'll likely be one of multiple independents or people of one of those many parties you spoke of. How do you work with all of these different people with different ideologies to advance the things you want to see happen in the city?
Well, you know, it's funny because when you do run, when I ran 4 years ago, and you go to the all candidates meetings every night, you're basically going with the same group of people and you develop camaraderie and friendships with other people in other parties. And certainly that happened 4 years ago, and that's sort of been maintained right up till today. So I'm still very good friends with a lot of people across all political parties. And let's be honest, I think there's great people in every party. There's also not so great people in every party. That's just the nature of politics, right? So my background is I'm a diplomat and a mediator, so I understand what it takes to get things done and how to work across party lines, particularly at the civic level where things don't have to be quite as ideological as they tend to become. So I'm very comfortable in that position, working with people from all across the spectrum.
Well, let's talk about some of the things you might want to get done. The biggest issue on everyone's mind is housing affordability, and people are talking about how we're in a crisis. Yeah. What do you see as the crisis that the city is facing?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that I see is there's no hope at all from younger people. They don't have any sort of pathway towards home ownership, let alone dealing with, you know, being kicked out of their place if they're renting secure rental. So I think what is achievable and what I've sort of approached is looking at innovative ways we can provide that, at least a glimmer of a pathway to home ownership for young people and new entrants into the housing market. And I'm looking specifically at co-housing. because that's basically how I live. I live in a townhomes with a shared social space. There's 10 of us all together. We have dinners every Sunday. There's kids. There's, you know, I've been there for 20 years. It's just a really special community. And I want to replicate that in terms of policy. So co-housing would be what I would be looking at. And I know that there are two good examples of co-housing now, but even if you look at those, you know, it would have been cheaper for the people that are living in them to buy a condo basically for the cost of it. So what I would look at was a specific policy for co-housing, looking at how we can speed up the timeline, have a specific desk just for co-housing, have an advocate within City Hall, have a staff that would help people who have the interest but don't know how to do it.
So housing's not the only issue people are talking about. People are also looking at a wide variety of issues, transit, the opioid crisis, and all these other things. What are you passionate about and really wanting to talk more about that isn't housing?
Well, something that's not always in the landscape is arts and culture. And I've been on a number of boards. So I was on the Comedy Fest board, those festival experience. I was on the Dance Center board, which was, you know, people don't always know about the Dance Center, but it's the only facility of its kind in Canada. At the time, it was built 20 years ago, and it was really groundbreaking. And because of it now, 20 years later, we see all these really fantastic dance companies that work their way up and are descendants of that model. So arts and culture is certainly I'm passionate about, and I understand from my own personal experience what it needs. In terms of funding, in terms of longer range secure funding, what we get from artists is so exponentially higher than, you know, the investment in artists pays off in huge dividends. So it's an easy play, but I would certainly advocate for that. I think they've been, quite frankly, taken advantage of for the last 5 or 10 years. So I would want to ensure that sector thrives in the city.
Do you think it's a matter of just throwing a bit more money at it, or is it?
Not at all, no. I think it's also just giving them the tools and the capacity that sometimes the longer range, you know, oftentimes their grants are not available to them until a few months or even a few months ago. So they have a real difficulty with cash flow. So helping them with that organizational needs will be important, providing the longer term funding and also the facilities. And we get back to the housing, but that puts pressure on theaters that are closing throughout the city, and communities need that kind of space for the arts to survive, not just to perform, but also to practice and to rehearse and to have offices and to store their equipment. So we have to look at how we can provide for that vulnerable sector of our city.
What are your thoughts? I mean, what else do I want to ask? The Vancouver has been led by vision for the last decade. What are the things you see that they've done very well that you'd want to continue? And maybe what are the things you think need a, you know, reset button?
You know, they have done a few things really well. Certainly, well, anytime any party gets in, they only have a certain amount of political capital to spend. And they've spent a lot of theirs on active transportation networks. And you just have to ride the Arbutus Greenway, for example, to fall in love with that piece of infrastructure. But also the network, I'm a cyclist, so I live downtown, so I really appreciate the fact that I can get around the city in an easy way. So I have to salute them for that. That took political capital, and it took a lot of it, and I do appreciate that. The one thing I don't appreciate that they did, I think they really brought a change in tone at City Hall with staff in particular, where that partisanship was brought into City Hall and City Hall practices a bit more than it used to be. So I think we used to have a much more sort of nonpartisan City Hall and staff-wise, and I think that's been lost. And that there's damage from that in that, for example, the public hearing process, there's not a lot of trust out there anymore. And I think that needs to be repaired. And that's going to take a while and a lot of effort to rebuild that public hearing process and the trust with people.
All right. Well, let's maybe pivot to a couple non-political questions to finish off to get a bit more of the color of Rob McDowell. First, Justin McElroy ran this bracket to see who was the unofficial ambassador of Vancouver in the summer, and people came up with Canuck the Crow beating out everyone else.
Of course.
Who would you have picked or put forward as Vancouver's unofficial ambassador?
You know, I think an easy one is probably Crystal Pight. If you don't know her, which most people don't, she is she's a choreographer of modern dance, and she won the Olivier Awards in the UK this year. She also won last year. She's Vancouver based. Nobody knows about her. Well, she does contemporary dance. I help her company. She's a fantastic Vancouverite, and she's very typical in this sense, and the way we all are. We're just these, you know, we're very modest. We don't celebrate our successes as much as we should. She's very Vancouver. She's very calm. She doesn't, the whole thing doesn't go to her head, but she's fantastic. And she would be my icon. I think she's amazing. She opened my eyes about modern dance. I mean, you know, modern dance, a lot of people think, oh, it's this like weird frozen tag that you're watching on a stage, you know, and everybody, it's just kind of bizarre. But when you see what she does, it's so accessible and so interesting. And I can see why she wins awards all over the world. But she would be my Vancouver icon.
All right. Well, the last question is, Vancouver's changed a lot over its history, and a lot of things have disappeared, or venues or other events in this city. What's one thing you wish we could just have back?
Well, it's got to be food related, because everything is food related in my mind. So, when I was a kid, we used to do the drive through at White Spot. There was this big old log cabin White Spot sort of in Marple. And it was this, I don't know if it was the original one or not, but you'd pull in there. We'd all sit in the back, and they'd bring the tray that goes all the way across the back seat. And we'd all get our pirate packs and stuff. And I remember the waitresses would come in on roller skates to deliver your food. It was that kind of idyllic sort of 50s thing, but I missed that place. Of course, it's not just the place, it's the smell and the food, but it's also just being a kid and just sitting in the backseat eating your pirate pack, you know? That's.
Well, if people want to find out more about you or your campaign, where should they go looking?
My website for sure, robertmcdowell.ca. That's probably the best place they could look. And my Facebook page is @VoteRobMcDowell.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.